Tennessee Pro was reading. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. This episode is basically a flashback to my Twitter feed. I am known in the Twitter kingdom as TV Food and Wine Girl. I am dedicating or basically emphasizing all of those in addition to a couple of other things during this episode. I will go over some of my TV watching interest this past week, actually week and a half, you could say, with how I felt about the 40-year-old version. Both of this dropped on Netflix, as well as Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat. There is a movie coming to Netflix on Friday, I believe, called The Queen's Gambit, a realistic and authentic look at a female chess player master from Kentucky coming up in the world dominated by male chess players in the 50s and 60s. And a current master who consulted on the project said this is an authentic look at chess, as with chess as the in the forefront. I'm going to be talking about food and also finally publishing the second part of my two-hour conversation, Fussing with Friends with Widow Vaughn. Her cookbook selections or editions for Chatterbooks has done really well. The Wine Girl piece of this, I will be taking hopefully a deeper dive into a selection that was highlighted for my visit to, it wasn't a visit, it actually, I had delivered an amazing meal from a local restaurant, Main Street Meats. Any place that has pork rinds that are made in the store, as well as bacon jam, you got me for life. But the T-bone steak, which was just like butter, cutting it, did pair well with the selections from Riverview Wine and Spirits, this 41 Highlands, 2018 Paso Robles Cabernet is actually a good selection with the T-bones. And I still want to give a shout out to the crew and staff at Proof Bar and Incubator. And the chef there was amazing. I'm headed back. Hopefully, I'll probably order the Yaka Ramen again this week for delivery. And the beef broth made a great dip for their brisket po' boy. I'll also be discussing the writing and the publication of the fifth episode of Survivor Code. Or Survivor Mode on my other channel, Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy, which I'm thinking about just completely dedicating to that fictional podcast, as well as just what I like to watch. The whole TV book version is part of the show. Now that the third season of Star Trek Enterprise has actually dropped, we are going to, Star Trek Discovery, premiered last week on CBS All Access. So I'll be discussing all of those episodes and upcoming, premium content, as well as additional Chatterbooks, editions that I get in selections from suggestions that seem neat from other podcasters, the New York Times, as well as the Times Free Press. And I hope as I publish these episodes, I want to express my views and likes that encourage, entertain, and in some instances, educate. And I hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And thank you for listening. of the things I did in prep for this week's episode is I knew it was going to be a continuation of my discussion with my friend Widow Vaughn and her discussion of cookbook additions to chatterbooks. So I reached out to another chef friend who I thought was going to give me, who's nothing like Widow Vaughn, but she gave me one suggestion of a book that I'm glad that I actually went and to watch the movie. And I was didn't think that I was going to ever be so surprised by this book as well as the Netflix series that came out in 2018. It is called Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat. And those are the four episodes. You could basically tell that the chef loves what she does. The chef is Saman Nosrat. I believe she's Persian, I believe. She's either Persian or Egyptian. And her love of food and her expertise in explaining these four simple ingredients was evident in each section. The first one, fat, she's in northern Italy, and she savors the magical properties of olive oil, pork fat, and cheese. And she basically condemns people that don't realize that even the finest olive oil has an expiration date. And evidently happy pigs don't stink, according to heirloom pig farmer in northern Italy. And the pork shank that they make and the handmade pesto was just glorious. This was how I started watching this series, and I was actually salivating because everything looked so good. Salt, during a trip to Japan, she reveals the many forms of salt can take and the profound effects it can have on food. The larger flakes, the simple, the iodized salt, which she does not suggest using in cooking, from the Himalayan pink salt, they all bring a different dynamic to food. The acidity, it illustrates the transformative power of acids and how even Mayan honey can add dimensions to every dish. And it's more acidic than you would think. People think of honey as being sweet, but it's not sweet, evidently, to Saman, because she is able, how they don't even have vinegar in traditional Mayan cooking and in traditional Mexican cooking, how they use a combination of sour oranges and limes and even these honeys to give the food all different dimensions. It's pretty amazing. And then heat, where she goes back home to California and she unlocks rich colors and flavors as she roasts meat, her favorite being chicken and veggies. And then she makes a crispy rice dish with her mom that harkens back to her childhood in Egypt. Just her attention to detail, the vivid colors, you could almost wish you had smell-o-vision because you would think that it would just so tragic that you could not enjoy all of these foods. And this book is actually available for purchase in Chatterbooks. And also, I wasn't able to add it, but I did order for myself. Some of the dishes that she basically featured in this movie actually has been made into swag, and there's a poster that you can also, that's available for purchase, but that's only on Amazon at this time. So go check it out. I'd completely recommend it. And last but not least is the movie that's getting ready to drop on Friday. It's all about chess. It's called The Queen's Gambit. It's actually a story about some skinny white girl from Kentucky who has her own addictions to drugs and alcohol. This is back in the 50s and 60s, and how she saved by chess. One of history's greatest chess players, Garry Kasparov, threw shade at other chess films because he says they were not authentic. And he basically hearkened the moves as they didn't make any sense. And he seemed to be a little bit OCD, and he says it could never be possible. Some of the moves and some of the things that they didn't just was ridiculous. And he hated them. But as a consultant on this movie, it was clear that chess was up in front. The book actually was optioned for a screenplay prior to Heath Ledger's untimely demise back in the early 2000s. And then they another director, Scott Frank, expressed interest, and they basically produced it through Netflix. It's obvious that the main character is troubled, and chess is her escape from some derelict Kentucky orphanage. But it's actually her savior, and it's not her demise. I like the complexities of this story, how this unlikely character, female, rises up through the male-dominant chess world of the 50s and 60s. And it promises to be a good watch, and I'll probably add this to my list of things to watch in the upcoming weekend. And I hope you will enjoy. So, one of my greatest passions, and I really like doing this, is being able to read the Sunday New York Times in particular, in piece from cover to cover. Arts and Entertainment, the Book Review, are always the sections that I pay most attention to. I get my ideas for subsequent podcasts like this little ditty.
We were just in time for my
grandma's
biscuits.
I get to read about plays and movies that I would not necessarily find on my own unless it was suggested by one of my good friends. And such is the case with
my mom and my grandma. Had meat in the kitchen since I was 5, 6 years old. Made everything from scratch.
Such is the case with this movie, the 40-year-old version. As most creatives have found in the past several months, we have outlets about our creative self. I've written a screenplay. I've written a fictional podcast, which I'm probably going to post later. But it is not posted at the time of this recording. But I was pleasantly surprised with a suggestion from New York Times and then Netflix, which is kind of creepy. The 40-year-old version, it premiered just this past week on Netflix. She wrote it, directed, and stars in it. She's a struggling New York playwright who passed her next big thing sell by a decade prior. The agent, Peter Kim, actually is, I recognize him. He played a bit part as a financier who wanted to be Carrie Bradshaw's assistant, and he shows up in pink high heel pumps. Well, nah. He is definitely out in this particular movie, but he also plays her agent in this one. This is a movie where it's all about self-discovery and ready for more. There is a love interest with a 26-year-old, and it's just authentic. Filmed in the Hamilton neighborhood, what is it? Hamilton Avenue or Hamilton Heights block a little over a year ago. It's actually a very, it's amazing movie, I thought. There were, the directing competition at the 2020 Sundance Film Festival. And after that, it scored a Netflix deal. It's a true story because it's like all of us are embarking on these journeys in our 40s and 50s. Some for necessity's sake, because of COVID, but others because of COVID, we're finding other ways to entertain ourselves and to stretch our creative chops. It was well earned. You see a transition where it seems that the main character, after the death of her mother, who was also a creative, gets stuck. She stops believing in herself. She takes a job that she had really no joy for, and it was a writing job, just to make that coin, and she feels like a complete sellout. She tells the story in such an authentic way. It makes this story relatable. And I think it's going to do big things. I hope she did score a very great deal with Netflix. The black and white 35mm made it even seem even more tangible. And I can't wait to see what is going to be produced next for her. I hope this is just the one of many series, because I thought this was actually a good start. Stand free, successful, standalone by itself. But I want to see, I really would and look and very interested in seeing more from her. Hats off to Rada Banks. Blank. This is an amazing story you told, and your voice shines through. So welcome to part two of the Widow Vaughn Chronicles. The editions that I actually posted on my blog, Widow Vaughn's Top 5 Favorite Cookbooks, it came out of our discussion. We actually talked for about 2 hours, and Yvonne basically said that our talks are very therapeutic for her. And her contribution to one of my most popular blog posts, where I added these 5 additional books to Chattabooks, what I do. I'm so blessed to have some very talented people that I can truly call my friends, and Widow Vaughn is one of them. And her additions from her Betty Crocker cookbook, Carolina Soul, Cook's Illustrated Cookbooks, and Baby and Grandbaby Cakes. Actually, this author is showcased in the What They Are Reading section of the New York Times, or is it Arts and I think it's Arts and Entertainment this week's in the New York Times. There's a whole Southern Living cookbook where I'm trying to basically coerce Yvonne into making me her caramel cake or her $1 million pound cake, or at least miniaturize it just in enough time for Thanksgiving. Because I do believe I will be spending it probably sheltering in place either here or on the Gulf Coast. I have no plans to travel and be around a whole bunch of people, but that's how I'm going to roll. But with her additions, those 5 additions, I actually added some of my own to include the Cook's Meat Illustrated, which is not even published yet. Sweetie Pie's cookbooks and Sylvia's Soul Food Restaurant, Harlem Icon I added that to my site. The most fun thing that I did was the cooking essentials on my Pinterest page. And this is one of the things I like about technology. When you learn and you get to use it to the best effectiveness. She also gave me a list of cookware that I should actually use, or amateur cooks or even professional cooks should actually add to their site. And I'm actually going to be adding some knives that I actually purchased through Kikimoto just yesterday. I would prefer if you use the knives that are offered through my site, because these are perfectly serviceable. But these Kikimoto knives are works of art within themselves. But I'm actually going to add them to my Pinterest pins because I think they're beautiful. And I'm waiting. They were just so responsive. And that is why I'm going to add them as a hashtag that you should actually follow them, or maybe even order some of their wares, because they are they look wonderful, and I'm wondering if they are as durable and as useful as what their site actually publishes. So this second part of this hour, we talk about not just food and other things. We basically get into the therapy that has become our lives, and talking about our fears, anxiety, and where we would like to be in this next year. And I hope you enjoy listening to this second part of the section while we chat about food and about going forward after the pandemic. Now, here is Widow Vaughn.
Because all you see, like you say, is blue. You drink your coffee, you wake up, you go to sleep, you nap, you nod off, you wake up. It's just peace. Oh my
and
goodness.
And it should be, yeah. You know, like at this point, either you're getting ready to set up where you're trying to reset before you start your next career, or you're heading towards retirement. Either way, living under siege and under this type of anxiety, nobody really needs that. That'll kill you faster than anything.
A part of me, I said, as much as I miss my parents off and on, and even my late husband, I'm glad they're not here for this shit. I truly am.
My mom's not here.
I'm really happy. As much as I miss them, I'm glad they are not here. And even Savoy, I'm glad he's not here to have to deal with this. Seriously. Yeah.
I don't think it's fair for any of us, you know, one, to put people through that, but I just want to handle it a lot better. So you come up with coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And I think talking about it and just being real with yourself about what's going down in your head, it helps just to recognize that there are issues.
I agree with you on that. I love what you just said. Yeah.
And just being real. I mean, it's the first time where I've had to stop and smell the roses, and you get a chance to smell the roses and smell the flowers. And I'm thankful for that, but there's still so many other things that really can really keep you up at night. You just really got to take care of yourself mentally and health wise. But there's always other obstacles, because I still look at my shoes. Like, I had all that exercise equipment. All it's in storage now.
Oh, that was funny. You had a whole gym.
I had a whole gym. Wonderful gym. Pilates machine, weight, treadmill. Girl, shit. I looked at it. God, started work.
But the cool thing about it, and my takeaway, it's always a positive. Because first of all, I'm like, man, I'm pulling every spiritual positive thing that I learned from childhood to now just to make it through a week. What the heck? It's intense, man, because it's mental. Mindset is everything. It's mindset. But after a while, the brain is a muscle too, and people don't realize that. It just needs to kind of chill and get on ice and retire. oh my goodness, you have to take so much just to make it through a regular day. And even the anxiety of wearing masks, you know, wanting to breathe properly, your glasses fogging up, it's all of that is anxiety. All of that builds up, it builds up, it builds up. And I'm looking at these absolutely just beautiful, gorgeous looking angel kids with masks and stuff. And one was frustrated and it was just like, oh my sweet babies, I am so sorry. And children in their natural element. Well, I want to smell it, pulling it down. No, you can't put. And I thought, damn, when I saw that today. Yeah, I want to smell the flowers. Want to smell, they're in this beautiful nursery. I went to a hardware store with my friend, Home Improvement. And I thought, you all are darlings and damn it, look at you. You know, it was sad, really sad to see that, you know.
The other thing I miss since I sold, especially my house in Fayetteville, one of the things I used to do is I would go to Lowe's or Home Depot and get flowers.
Yes.
This was first year, because I haven't done that in a number of years, actually.
Wow.
But this would be like towards the beginning of the summer. Like when we went on lockdown, that's when I was looking for my perennials to replace them.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I realized now that when I first moved out to that house, one of the things that I actually did was I bought multiple rose bushes.
Wow.
So three in the front, three on the side, and I had two in the back. Yeah. The long stems were on the side and in the back. Okay. And when the movers came and, you know, I sold the house, I basically got in the truck. I wasn't digging up shit. It comes with the house. Peace, all the new appliances, it comes with the house. Deuces. I remember when I bought them and planted and how proud I was. I remember all those bulbs that come up every year.
Yeah.
Didn't give off.
Nope, you did not. Peace.
Girl making new memories. I holler at y'all though.
But it's I hear you on that. And I'm a minimalist now. I said, man, if nothing else, this has shown me I don't need a lot of material stuff. It's just I don't need a lot of material stuff at all. Oh my goodness.
I'm looking at the stuff like when I finally find something. If I don't auction it off, if I don't really do go to Barbados or Costa Rica.
Oh my God.
When they do deliver the stuff and I start unpacking the boxes, I'm gonna be like, why did I keep this?
Yes.
I told you about the two wash dryers I got, right?
Oh no, you did not. Oh my gosh.
I ended up packing it up instead of calling the people to come pick it up.
No, you did not. Really, Felicia?
I love it though, because it's really cool. By the time I get it out, I can run it from my phone.
Oh wow.
You get rid of the other high occupancy one. I got two watch fries. Girl.
Two. Oh my God, that's hilarious. But what keeps me grounded is this is not the worst thing that's ever happened to me. That's what keeps me grounded. I mean, and I constantly remind myself of that. This is not the worst thing that's happened to me personally. But I think about, like I said, my younger nephews, they had such a crappy summer. They're single. What does dating even look like? You know, how do you get close to someone? And the mental, especially the younger one, you see how it's affecting him mentally. And then just trying to be there and be supportive. And what do you say? But it is justifiable that you feel the way you feel. Yeah.
It's the younger one. He's not the one with the autistic features. It's the
oldest one. No. Right. The oldest one is good. His clicked in because the moment he said, when he helped me move, he said, you know what I realized on T-Von? And that's when I knew he crossed over. He said, mindset is everything. It's how you think, how you feel. I was like, you're going to be okay, nephew. My heart broke. I had tears. I said, you're going to be straight. He said, it's the mindset. Man, the world is going to be mine. It's going to be mine. I'm going to have this. My kids are going to have that. And I just looked at him with awe. He turned into like Zeus's son at that moment to me. I said, I adore you, nephew, because you got it and you get it. And that's what my parents did for us. But you have all these tools, but once it kicks in, you're going to be straight. You're going to go through. And there are some moments that you're going to cry yourself to sleep. You're going to have the shittiest day on the planet. But guess what? You're going to wake up the next day and you're going to feel refreshed. You're going to get your seal and you're going to go. Yeah.
That's the thing, being that you wake up and you're going through the shit, but you're actually going to be okay.
Yes.
If you don't lose sight of that, still going to be okay.
You're still going to be okay. But to recognize, don't pretend that everything is fine because it isn't. Yeah, there are going to be some times where you're on the cliff. You're on the cliff. You're about to fall over. Then all of a sudden.
Been teetering there for over for weeks now and realizing it, talking through it or walking, working your way through it. And finding out other positive ways to deal with it and decreasing your anxiety. But the first thing is just realize that there is a problem and you are feeling anxious. And that
People feel how you feel, but you can work through it. Don't pretend that everything's okay, because that's what, you know, just makes it okay. You had a crappy Thursday. It happens. Wake up the next day, take a shower. You're going to have a great Friday, you know, just day by day, just one day at a time.
But and even today, even with the weepiness, you know, today was an awesome day though. You know, I got a lot done. And I got my book, got stamped.
See, nice.
Okay.
Tell me.
I'm like, crazy. I really am a drug addict because I'm a book hoarder. Book hoarders should not have online bookstores, because it's just like, if you like weed, like Smokey from
That's scary. Yeah.
Friday, and then you smoke up all the weed. I'm buying up all the books.
Oh my goodness.
Janelle got me hip to one of her super woke friend at her job. He started a book club. And so she gave me all the list of the books that
My goodness.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. So I just added to my little bookshop and then I ordered the book. I ordered 7 books for myself. And get commission. They were like, oh, that's a nice little commission. I ordered the book.
Because you. I still do that. I personally still like the physical book. And I am a huge cookbook collector as well.
Okay.
Older the better. Yeah.
This is your homework assignment for tonight.
All right. Give me my homework
assignment.
I'm going to
start up Widow Vaughn's cookbook list.
Okay.
I'm going to need the author and the title of cookbooks that I should add to my bookstore.
Oh,
that's number one.
I got you.
And find a book online that you want to order, do me a favor. Don't order from Amazon. Come to a Sister Chatterbook.
Okay.
Come and order it from me.
I will do that. And I can do that. Absolutely.
Give me like 5. Give me 5 cookbooks.
I'm taking the. That's nuts for me. That's fun. Now that's pleasure right there.
And if you
OMG.
Send it to me, because I've done Chatterbooks. I navigate back to Amazon to get like a summary of whichever book.
Okay.
And I think if you the books that you would like me to offer. If you would just write a 1 or 2 liner why you like the book, and what's your favorite recipe if you've actually cooked something out of the book,
that
would be helpful too. So I can get the readers to basically
I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to do that. Yes, because there are some, like I said, when I left Arizona after my husband died, I gave absolutely everything away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was such a minimalist, but there were key cookbooks that I used since I was a girl that I found again. And I just had to add to my collection again. So I'm more than happy to do that for you. This is so exciting to me. I can't wait to share with you the ones that
used. I can't even imagine, because I'm like, as I sent you that picture of the lasagna.
Oh my God.
So into just the auditory, no, olfactory, like the smells and the taste and everything about food. And that's what Lawrence said something that you, that's very similar to what you, he says, it is so cool because Lawrence and I hadn't seen each other in 3 years. And
Okay.
It was really cool. He's like, you just like me. We like to eat. I'm gonna need to, you know, go to the gym to get ready to hang out with you. I had already planned for 5 restaurants that we were gonna go to while he was in Georgia.
Yeah.
And as you said, basically the same thing. You're gonna have to drop out 20 pounds because you're gonna eat it all back on.
I'm already planning that.
I already know where the 5 cheese, 2 meat lasagna joints are.
See, how about the beer, me with him. I said,
the beer garden and seafood restaurants. I already know where they are.
Yeah. And so, just say, man, I told Yvonne what you ordered. She was highly impressed.
Because everybody I've sent pictures to, they're like, girl, what is this? I'm like, it's like 5 minutes up the road from me.
Man.
We didn't even get to go to Edison's. That's the barbecue joint lizard right next to it.
Oh,
We could have just come back, and if it didn't close early, if we didn't find anything, there's Whole Foods and Publix.
Yeah.
Get whatever you want and cook it right in the
Oh my God. And that's Southern. I'll never forget when I went to Nashville to visit one of my amazing coworkers a few years ago. And
we got,
I first found out about hot chicken in the South. And this breakfast was, it just was beyond anything with the waffles. It was a waffle chicken breakfast sandwich. I said, what the hell?
Because, we got Rob, that's, they call it the Roscoe. That's where I went to the Beef and Barrel.
Okay.
They had a Roscoe, that sandwich you just, from Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in California.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
A big chicken, breaded chicken breast between
in
two
milk and waffles. Yes. Yes.
Top with syrup and butter. Yeah,
that's sitting there, and the chefs, so different chefs love when I, because I don't hide it. I said, look, so they were getting the kick out of my reaction when I ate the food. I was like, it was just in heaven. It's nothing like a really fantastic meal, is it? And that's why I love the South so much. I'm like, oh my God. If you say grits, I'm already falling in love a little bit.
Oh, shrimp and grits. A little bit. We had that too. But we almost got that.
Oh my God. Just the fact that you know about it. And it was funny. One of my, I'm going to specifically say white coworkers told me the funniest story because she called me up. She said, I'm not racist, but you're the only one I know who can help me. She was dating a Southern white gentleman who wanted to cook for her. Half the stuff that he had on the list, she had either never heard of or she didn't know where to find it. And she said, Yvonne, I love you. It's not a racial thing.
I just don't know where to get this stuff.
I don't want to presume and assume that you know what a ham hock is.
Bought those today with the ham shank because I put it in my, okay, so I go, Yvonne, you don't seem to understand. Daily Harvest soups are vegan, but I bought the ham hocks and the ham shank to add to it to add flavor because I eat
I put a post up. I think I was cooking during the pandemic. And a bunch of friends on my friend list are either vegan or they don't do pork or whatever. So I put the apology. I said, look, yes, it's bacon. I'm not apologizing. It's all about the flavor. And I was making some collard greens. That's what I wanted in it. I didn't want turkey.
Smoked turkey.
I didn't want freaking.
Smoked turkey's not the same. I will be. Leave out the apple cider and put real smoked pork in your greens. Stop it.
And they were, and then they were laughing. I said, yep, I know I'm going to get a backlash. I don't care. That's what I did.
So she didn't know what a ham hock was, didn't know which store to get it from. Yes.
She
until
said,
they brought this puppet up here and they started stocking, I used to have to go to the South Side Food City to get my pork products when I first moved out here.
Yeah.
Even Whole Foods, Whole Paycheck, they were like, damn, what?
She said, what the hell is a, it's a hog, it's the head of a hog that's cheese. I was crying. He wanted hog head cheese.
He must have been from South Carolina. Where was he from?
I didn't even ask, because she said he was from the South and he wanted to cook for her. And she said, I don't even know what that looks like. It was so funny. But ham hocks, he was looking for that. That was on the list, the hog head cheese. And it was one other thing, a neck. I think she knew about neck bones. She just didn't know where to get them. And I was scared. But a part of me was like, damn, what is he about to cook? Can a sister come over and get a plate? Yeah. But it was funny. And I remember that. And that's, I said, yeah, the South is the South. I mean, Southern food is just Southern food. It is what it is, you know?
And you have to, sometimes you just have to do a fusion. As I said, my little vegan soups are the bomb.
I remember that story, but you bought ham hocks to put in
your to go with.
Well, my girlfriend, the funniest thing, years ago, the first time I ever heard her order, she said, y'all want a pizza? Yeah, you know. She said, I want the vegetarian pizza, and make sure you put the extra with Italian sausage. And on the other end, they were like, what? Yeah, I want the vegetarian pizza with extra peppers, and make sure you put double sausage. And they were just kind of like, well, she said, because I'm going to get all the vegetables I want, plus the meat. It's going to be the bomb pizza. I laughed so hard, but similar to you. That's what she ordered. Vegetarian pizza, sausage. Vegan soup with ham.
Exactly. It's the best, because you know those vegetables are on point. They flash freeze them. It's the best soup I've had. It was great today.
Yeah, no, it was outstanding. It was totally outstanding, wasn't it? I know.
Exactly. Yeah. Girl, you just got to know how to work it to your favor.
I went to the store. Why did I see baby back ribs, buy one, get one free? Why did they do that to me?
Fresh has the best rotisserie ribs in the world.
Oh my gosh.
And we got one of them over at Hamilton Place.
Well, as I said, I'm preparing myself. When I come to the South, game over. I don't care. I'm prepared.
So you're going to have to be your super fly self.
Yes.
In the Hyatt, and I'm still paying for that. Chattanooga.
Yes.
Because everywhere that we need to eat is right around where I live. I'm just going to get you apartment across the way. You're just going to stay over there.
I can't. I'm so excited. So that's what's keeping me going, like a trip like that. Whenever this madness is over, you know, I can't wait.
It's something you get to look forward to.
That's what I said. It's so exciting. I said, yay. I said, I have the bomb trip coming up. People think I'm about to say I'm going to like Shanghai or, you know.
Oh, they just
don't. I'm like, nope.
We're going to have to sneak Savannah.
They were like, what? I said, yeah.
Savannah's close to here too.
I can't wait. I want to go to the Gray. I want to go to the Gray Hotel restaurant. I hope it's open by the time I get there. I just always wanted to see Savannah, always in person. That's something.
You know, realize that those Charleston, South Carolina. I have an issue with South Carolina right now, but okay. Savannah, Georgia, Atlanta are probably one of my two most favorite.
Okay. States. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Okay.
I'm biased. I love Chattanooga, but yeah. Hattie's Hot Chicken is in Nashville. And we're going to have to go there. And also the Parnassus, there's a bookstore in Nashville too.
Okay. See, you're speaking my language. I'm just purring on the inside like a cat. I'm so excited.
There's so much vintage vinyl. There's a couple of shops.
Oh my God. You're killing me.
Oh my God. See, that's why you're going to need a trunk that we're going to need to ship back.
I'm going to either buy a luggage while I'm there or just bring an extra. I'm going to ship.
Oh, we can do that too, because we can get you a couple of empty Tumi bags or just some cheap stuff.
And I said, I'm already going to be prepared to be mailing myself
a real trunk, and then we're going to have to ship it back, because
we're going to have to do that. Yeah.
The books and
yes, the vinyl,
all the vintage vinyl, my two spots are back. They have spots.
Oh my gosh.
One, because I just did a review. So McKay's is the largest used where I got my last records from. But there is a couple of bookstores as well as vintage shops like right on Market. On Fraser that also offer vintage. And I haven't even touched the places in Nashville, Music City. I haven't even gone there. If you have more time, another 2 hours, 3 hours on the other side of Nashville, of course, is Memphis. But I haven't been to Memphis since I went out.
I haven't been to this. It's been years. I was a little girl and I, you know, grew up up city. I can't wait. I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm so ecstatic about this trip. I cannot wait. I can't wait.
It's because, and I'm coming back full-time to Tennessee, you know, and I think even with the anxiety, I'm in a better frame of mind than when I first moved here. And because I don't have the same financial constraints and I'm free to be just, I have a job and I got my truck, but I'm freer. I really am freer, but there are a lot of constraints because people seem like they're hunting us, but I'm in a different space. I'm grown.
But I loved when you sent that text earlier. I mean, for that moment, I was like, wow, what a moment that she's having. And I couldn't wait to hear about that. Like you say, it's raining outside, but you're able to do this, you know, you're
starting. I'm dry and I'm safe.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
This is, I think, between All Sons and all of the tech people that I've had, you know, helping me get my houses and stuff sold. But I was just so happy that when he answered the phone, I was like, hey, Jeremy. First it was Jeremy, then it was Josh, because I had to call back because they didn't give me the paper.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, y'all don't realize just how helpful y'all have been. And I can give you my credit card knowing that for once it ain't maxed out. I know how much you go, and you can charge it every month on the 15th.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And you said at that moment,
$100 owing on any car. So holy shit.
But that felt amazing. It felt amazing, didn't it?
I was tripping. And I put it exactly on my little Visa Black card from Marriott. And I said, because every time you charge this bitch, I get travel points.
There you go.
I was like, okay.
Use those rewards, man. Use them up. Yep.
It was hysterical. It was so freaking hysterical.
Oh, I love that. I think that's fantastic. I love it. I love that. Yeah.
So that's why I was also tearful, because I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I get shit done like what I do, and I can pay for shit and don't have to worry about it.
Not even have to scrimp and worry and be nervous and sad and depressed and anxiety and how are you gonna
do you realize this is the first time, this is the second year I've not had to do locums. I have had extra contract work. Anything I make, even though it's commissions on books that I buy from my own bookstore, I recently got two commissions because you hear about the publishers and the people that they talk about different companies and they get paid for. Yeah. I got two commissions on shipabagofdicks.com.
What?
Okay. So I signed up to be an affiliate I'm affiliate for a couple of different companies. One is Writer's Block, and I'm hopeful that Black and Bold is going to hook a sister up too. They're going to start sending some free swag. Lifestyle, microband, I'm hopeful.
You said whatever, yeah.
But Ship a Bag of Dicks is the funniest site I have ever rolled up on. It is, I didn't know that people, you know, women say, suck my D, right?
Yeah.
A while, but actually, eat a dick is basically a very common insult. So I signed up as an affiliate, and I ended up sending my friend, my cousin Viva,
yeah,
a box of gummy dicks. I thought it was hilarious.
Right.
I didn't know, but this is what I didn't know. And the glitter bomb. This is what I didn't know, because I sent her the glitter bomb because I thought she was the bomb.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is, number one, how insulting sending a penis is to somebody, but also that the company sends it anonymous. You have to select that, and you should tell them that you sent them this and how it's his humor. I didn't know. I made her cry. So I wouldn't do that because she thought it was somebody that she had some beef with, like a bad
breakup.
And he sent it to her. And I was like, I was wondering why she, because I saw the
delivery. Oh, because she didn't know. Oh my goodness. She didn't know.
I sent it to her. And I waited like 2 weeks. And then she, when I told her, she was like, you had me crying. They had broken up badly, girl.
So she thought it was him. Oh, what a funny story. That's a funny story.
But they have, and you can use my promo code, you get a percentage off. But I said, you know, the way I say it on my show is, okay, there's a whole bunch of people that need a bag of gummy penises or 8-foot chocolate penis.
Yes.
So it's a great site. It is like one of my favorite ones. And I got two $3 commissions. Because somebody else was
like you say, but didn't that feel good? See, it's the little things like that. It's
crazy. Just the little thing. Yeah, it's the little thing. Like if you
that's what I get a kick out of now. Yes.
Tips for like a blog or that little thing. I personally think it is the funniest site on earth. It's like, how many people really need a dick? They just need a gun.
Right.
They just need a gun. Yeah. A cup with a penis on it. It is hysterical.
I would, if I received something like that, I would just start hollering. I would laugh so hard. Like, wow.
Oh my God, you get it. But you need to tell the person, did you send them something like that? Though? Because it could
I would actually crack up and get a huge kick.
I want to send everybody in the administration a penis. But
yeah.
You know, man, that's too much fun. The biggest
kick. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, I love this.
So that is different. You know, like you have to look for like streams of income, and I'm having so much fun. It's what I used to do is work 60 to 80 hours in a real job and then have another gig like as a contract doctor. But what I'm finding now is I'm having fun looking for other opportunities to have a hustle. And as I said, as a book quarter, this chatterbooks can go either way. You know, I'm still going to get discounted off and I'll still get some of my money back. But I'm supporting, this is where I basically rationalize it. I'm supporting local bookshops.
There you go.
Every time I buy is from someone that's close to me, I get a commission on it. So I'm personally upholding the other local bookstores.
Yeah.
My purchases. So
that's perfect. Exactly. Oh my God, that's awesome.
But I'm still crackhead Fleet Fee though with these damn books.
And I both. It's just, oh my goodness. It's
just astounding. Saying.
Yeah. Same here. That's my vice. That's definitely one of them. But I'm so excited. I can't wait to really actually share some of my personal top 5 cookbooks. I'm excited about that, truly.
I'm so and I'm really looking forward to which recipes because I'm not gonna buy your books. I promise. I ain't gonna buy. I'm not gonna buy them.
Because like you say, for me personally, cookbooks are personal. And it reminds me of because I was looking for a recipe, but I fell in love with this cookbook and then the reasons why and the story behind it. And it's usually a few favorites from each one. I'm like, oh, I already know, you know, why I go to this one cookbook all the time. And so, I'm actually excited to share.
What is your favorite thing to cook? Or do you like savory dishes? Or are you more of a dessert person?
More of a dessert with bread, for sure. And also bread, cookies, and pastries and cakes. Even though I studied both, I went to culinary school, I studied the savory as well as, but baking is therapeutic for me. Like I could bake for hours and just be so happy with my swollen feet and aching back and listening to my house music, but I am in utopia. I am in utopia and I love bread. That's why a lot of people don't like to bake. You have to let the dough rise the first time, punch it down and shape it, let it rise again. But man, that feeling of the finished product, oh my God, it's therapeutic for me. I absolutely love it. I love making cheese Danish and cinnamon rolls and brioche buns and homemade bread to make fresh French toast, that kind of thing. My nephews love. So I have a bunch of nephews and nieces between my family and my late husband's family, Auntie Yvonne's cookies, Auntie Yvonne's cookies. And so I have my own like chocolate chip dough that I've mastered over the years. It's
chocolate
my recipe.
Chip dough, what?
Chocolate chip cookie dough. Chocolate chip cookie dough. It's my recipe. It's accumulation of my taste and how what I wanted to see it. It's loaded with chips, but I'm a chocolate chip snob. I'm a vanilla extract snob. So it's certain qualities, man. Nope. Got to be top quality,
you
know.
You just don't get the cookie dough and throw some McCormick's.
Right. Yeah, we can't do the Nestle. And no offense to Nestle, you've been around for years. You've made a lot of households happy. But once I really went to my first restaurant show and truly tasted real chocolate, I lost my mind right there on the exhibit floor. I said, oh, this isn't the chocolate that I tasted when I was a child in Chicago. This is the real shit. Yes.
So you like the Swiss or do you like Ghirardelli's?
Yeah. So Guttard and Ghirardelli are my favorite, but it isn't the traditional semi-sweet. It's their, the bittersweet chocolate mixed with a cup of the milk chocolate. And that's the bomb recipe. And it's a slight increase in the salt. So salt actually is a flavoring ingredient. People don't realize that it pulls out, salt actually pulls out flavors in everything else that you use. So
because salt triggers your taste bud. That's the scientific part of it.
Yes.
It does. And
so if it's chocolate, that's why salted caramel took off like.
Yes.
That's one of the main reasons why. And so it's a slight salt, but you could taste it. And it's just like, oh my God. Oh, yeah, I said, I know. And so once you perfect that, but yeah. So just to answer your question, it's the baking part that I love the most. And even though I love to cook, but yeah, baking is my, I veered off more to the baking side.
So sea salt, chocolate with a Bordeaux, like a French red.
Oh my goodness. I'll never forget the first time I went to Paris. It was the worst nutrition that you could ever think of in a day. The first day, all I ate and drank was I just wanted coffee, bread, chocolate, and cheese. Talk about constipation soup right there.
But see, the way you work that out is the black coffee, the French dark roast coffee. You may have to put a little bit of Miralax in it, but you just work all that shit out.
I said, and the first day, that's all I want. That's all I ate. It was amazing. I said, oh my God, this is bread. This is how a croissant really tastes.
So Widow Vaughn Bakery is still a possibility then, right?
Yeah, but you never know. You know, years ago, because like you say, because it takes so much time, whatever, now it's more pleasure than more of a business, consulting more as a, or cooking courses as opposed to doing it full time. So I had volunteered in the past a couple of times. So now pass it on to younger people like my nieces and nephews. I didn't realize that I was actually training and they're showing their own kids. That's beautiful to hear that. Oh yeah, Auntie Yvonne. The first thing I taught my girls how to make pancakes from scratch. We don't use the box mix and the vanilla, because you would always say a little extra vanilla never hurt. And it's just, it's, it makes my heart burst to hear that those stories that they know that they learned that. Because once you start baking from scratch and doing certain things, you become a slight snob. You don't really want that, you know.
Because you don't want the processed stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Once you've tasted, for example, high society, from where I grew up, was Red Lobster.
Yes.
But when you actually go to some place where you know what boat the food comes off of, you go to the seafood or you go to a lobster festival in Maine, you ain't fitting to go to Red Lobster anymore.
You're so done.
It's a wrap. Go where? I like their biscuits, but that's about it.
Oh, I love their biscuits. I freaking love their biscuits. But it turns into that. And I'm like, how do I say this in the most polite way? I love my twin to
pieces. I'm like, ain't going because I don't like that cheap seafood. If I'm going to drop $20, I'm going to
be on the road. That's how I feel. I'm a coffee snob too. My twin.
I'm a coffee Nazi. That's what they call me.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. My sister knew I was spending the night one of the first time years ago. Yvonne, I got your coffee and I'm all excited. Bless her heart.
Coffee beans with a coffee grinder, cage-free brown eggs. I don't eat white eggs anymore.
Oh, and she's bougie.
and brown raw sugar cubes. That's how I roll.
Oh,
I don't eat white sugar.
Okay.
Raw sugar cubes because they exist.
You're on that galaxy level. You're on that level.
Extra shit, girl.
You're on that galactic level. I love that. Well, I already know then I'm gonna be ecstatic staying with you and drinking coffee. So I'm happy to hear that. I'm like, oh, my beautiful twin had the jar coffee with the twist lid that you scoop out and add water. I was like,
what is that? Is that Sanka? She don't have Sanka.
Something. It was something like that. And
like Sanka Folgers, the old Folgers. Not even the 1814.
She saw the look.
The old Folgers.
On my face. And she was like, what? I said, I can't. No, I'm good. I waited until we go out to breakfast. I said, oh my God, bless you, twin. I love. And she was like, I got your coffee. I'm all excited. I was like, okay, so where's the grinder? Where's the, I was like you, the percolator, where's the, no, here. Screw off, put in 2 teaspoons.
No. Okay, so this is how we gonna have to do this. I'm sorry, but you're gonna need to put this up and we're gonna have to go to at least the Target to get the black and bold. Hold on for a minute, I'm gonna show you something.
I look forward to it.
So, as I said, I had a subscription to Writer's Block Coffee. And that company was, I sent you with my book, the
package. Oh, that was so good. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it was excellent. Yeah.
However, these are the brugs. This is Black and Bold.
Ooh.
That are black roasters make this coffee.
Oh my God.
And they sell it on their site, but it's also offered in nationwide in Target.
I'm writing this down. Okay. Wow. All righty.
This is the coffee beans dark roast from Honduras.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I know that's
good. But what's equally good is this. This is their steamed coffee. It looks like a tea bag.
Okay.
But it is not. It is a bag of black gold goodness.
Oh my goodness.
This tastes even more steep and strong than this.
Okay,
this is in the guise of a tea bag. This is called Black and Bold Rise and Grind Steeped Coffee Bag. I had this for the first time this afternoon. It shocked the crap out of me because it made 2 full teacups of coffee. Crazy good. You'll like this too.
Okay. You sold me on that. You are a good spokesperson. I can't wait to try this when we're done with our call.
And I'll let you know. I'll let you know if they actually made doing this shout out. They're gonna get sent sister at least send some of these. Send a couple of these boxes. I will be
send
happy
a couple
with
of
that.
Thank you boxes. I love. Thank you so much. And I meant to tell you, I ordered from that salmon. When you
said, oh, you did.
Oh, first of all.
Sea bear, Pacific Southwest.
What? Okay. What was equally shocking and surprising, I said, oh, they sell frozen croissant dough? Really? I need to try that because I'm a bread snob. I like croissants. Croissants are hard as hell to make. They're a pain in the ass, but I love them. I said, you know what? Let me try it. Let me just try it. The salmon was just phenomenal. Thank you so much. I made those for my twin and I can't go back. I can't go back to anything else now other than making them myself or going to overseas to France and having a trip. Lord have,
so that's since we the can't real travel, deal. That's what's up. If we can't travel to France, we need to find all the stuff that we like in this country that we've tasted before, we know what's up, and replacing it and enjoying it.
Yep.
Just real, just enjoy it. And it's okay.
That's what I do. I said, so my little pleasures are, it's certain food items. I'm a foodie. There's certain things that I love, good bread, good cheese, good coffee. I'm happy. I'm a simple person. Absolutely. And I'm so excited. I'm so, thank you for sharing this. I can't wait to look them up. I love
having a salt bagel from Eats a Bagel. That was the bomb. That was the last thing I ordered.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The salmon smear, crazy good.
Oh, my goodness.
A cup of hot coffee with this. And tomorrow, I'm actually going to be making, I'll just have some, I used to have go to a restaurant, have boiled eggs, and I'll probably have like some old Bloody Marys tomorrow. With either some mimosas, because that's what's up here.
Oh,
I can read my New York Times and just finish up, and I'll post my podcast later.
I love it. I'm going to try and do some reading tomorrow. I'm getting back into my reading and writing to the point where, especially when I make my, career moves recently, a daily chore. I mean, daily task, daily.
Are y'all getting any rain from this system?
Not yet. The most today, it was warmer than I expected. In Illinois, where I am, it hit 79 degrees. It was cloudy most of the day, but no rain at all. None.
Yeah,
is it still raining? Is it still where you,
They expect
I need to follow the weather later to see what's going on with that. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
It looks like a war zone down there. As I said, there's no power.
Gosh.
Whipped up. I think it hit, it was either category 2, cat 3.
Yeah.
My
goodness. They can't, people. Louisiana just can't catch a break.
No, they can't. And it's,
I mean, it's something about that sec, that location, that whatever. My God, I mean,
it's the whole Gulf. It's just too warm.
It's, and it's the Gulf. It is.
And they rebuilt. How you gonna drop to a cat 1, and then as you get closer to shore, it builds. It gets worse.
Right. It's crazy. Listen, because the last I had heard, I said, "Oh, okay." It went down to it. Nope. Maybe built momentum. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah.
It's really sad. So pray for those people. And what I'm going to do is, as always, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to stop recording. This was as usual.
So I'm still on the glow that is my week. You would think that I was a outdoorsy person or I was very sociable because I've been allowed to basically hang out with a very good friend of mine, Lawrence Harris. I'm still talking about him. Because I had the pleasure of his presence when he was here working on a project for 2 weeks in Dalton. Georgia. And we first initially went to Food Works, which is a casual American fair right down off of Market. Is it Market? Yes. Or is it Fraser? I guess it's considered Fraser. But anyways, our Cherokee, actually Cherokee Boulevard, in the north side part of town here in Chattanooga. We had a great time, amazing food. And then we were initially going to go to the Boathouse and then check out the beer garden that's right across the street from the Boathouse and a great seafood restaurant in Tennessee. But that particular Wednesday is the Times Free Press where they highlight several local restaurants. And one of the restaurants that they highlighted was Proof Bar and Incubator. Their chef, Kenyatta Ashford, was highlighted in that segment of the newspaper write-up. And what struck me was a dish that he created. It's called Yaka Ramen. First he had me at rock ramen, but then when he talked about yak, this is one of those dishes that is a Asian fusion and ghetto African American fare, food fare that I had grown up with in my years in Virginia Beach. It's used as a Asian food fare that they used to use for the never ending building fund for my sister's church. And I remember it with onions and hot peppers and eggs and tomato sauce. And I thought it was just a watered down version of spaghetti and meatballs, but evidently he's taken a step further by using brisket and high quality beef, but still with eggs, and it still had that same fare and using egg noodles. And it was actually very amazingly good. The beef broth was what I loved because if you ordered the beef po' boy, you could actually use it as a dip, which I did the next day. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So big ups to the general manager. And I love that particular restaurant because they actually check temperature and they observed social distancing. So the GM was amazing. But also the fare of Kenyatta Ashford and also the dessert chef and the bakery that is going to revive the farm to table movement. I think the incubator or Proof Bar incubator is a perfect place to be able to experiment. And I'm glad that I was a part of that journey. I also, the weekend, discovered a place called Main Street Meats. But what makes it amazing about Main Street Meats is just the idea that any place that has home-based or homemade bacon jam and a bacon-based or smoked that they probably smoked somewhere on one of their property, but all of their beef is locally sourced. The T-bone basically cut like butter. It was perfectly made, medium rare. I actually only could eat half of it because it was so gigantic. But then I actually heated it up the next day and it actually kept really well with eggs the next day. It was off the chain, but they also have a bacon biscuit that I need to try that they only serve on Sundays. I find that absolutely amazing in itself. But what I did realize is I went into Riverside to get my usual Bombay Sapphire Gin Martini and Tito's Vodka re-up for the month. And I asked one of the owners or workers at Riverside Spirits, what kind of wine should I get a cab that wouldn't overbear this T-bone steak that I actually just bought or was on its way to be delivered by Grubhub. And they suggested this great vintage 2018 Estate Reserve by Paso Robles, 41 Highlands or Highlands 41. This also not only enhanced the rich textures of the T-bone steak, but it also held up well and enhanced the saltiness of the salt pork that I actually had with string beans today. There was like some berry chocolatey finish that I also found that gave it a complexity, and I was actually just very surprised, and it just was a very good finish. So my big ups this week on the wine side, because I do like my drinks and my food. The big shout out to the staff and Chef Kenyatta Ashford at Proof Bar and Incubator. The chef at Main Street Meat, I like the idea of locally sourced beef and bacon jam and home fried pork rinds. That to me is just straight up crazy. But I'm going to have to basically frequent you again, as well as the knowledge of the staff at Riverside Wine and Spirits. You guys are amazing. I know they have tastings there, probably in the eve of COVID. I'm not going to be able to participate in that. But I do appreciate your suggestions, because this Highlands 41 is definitely needs to go on my must-have list. Just as a sipping wine, or just as a compliment for a smoked pork dish, as well as definitely with the buttery T-bone steaks that they serve at Main Street Meats. Locally sourced T-bone steaks that they source at Main Street Meats. And you can't go wrong. Navigate to the notes where I'll give details and links back to all of these locations, as well as suggestions of where you can actually pick up the spirits that I basically spoke about in this section. So this is how this next section is the whole premise of Tennessee Froward's reading. I started this podcast as an homage to my border in Kentucky, and as a revolt against the uninspired television programming. And I'm so glad that I get to shelter in place, or I got to start sheltering in place where I had better television programming and it wasn't so gloomy when, as you watch a town die, but that's neither here nor there. I'm over Kentucky. I'm glad that I don't have to be there in that part of the country, as well as West Virginia Trump land. And it just allowed me to dream of being somewhere different. And one of the dreams that I had as I was making my way back to Chattanooga was a bookstore. I want to eventually own my own building and recreate the electronic version of my bookstore. So every week that I publish this podcast, I'm able to talk about books in a way that I keep adding things to my book club. I keep adding things that I hope not only I would want to read, but others around me would love to read too. One of my favorite newspapers to read is, of course, the Sunday New York Times. I read it for arts and entertainment. I kind of glance at the first section and the obituaries, and I need to make a note to myself. I kind of skimmed way past the obituaries today. I know that's really macabre. But one of the things that I really like to read is the book review. But now that I'm back full time in Tennessee, I now have a daily subscription to the Times Free Press, and their Sunday edition is kind of on point. Not only do you get very awesome recipes, and I basically took out a clam and, oh, what is this? A butter garlic clam recipe that I'm going to have to hit up, hopefully. I do love their Thank you. I do love their, I do love their book section, which is at the back of the Life. Saving What Remains. There is a series of books that I'm going to update you guys on in this section of the Chatterbooks edition. And also, nifty technological advancement. I've had for years, or at least a year, what equates to a recording, voice recording device on my phone. When I was able to update it, I didn't know that by subscription, they have this nifty transcription segment. It's kind of hard to be able, I'm not finding as precise and effective subscription on my Dragon Anywhere app. So I probably will be discontinuing my Dragon Anywhere pretty soon just because of its lack of precision, and I haven't been able to incorporate it for it to be useful in my current podcasting. So with that said, I'm using that to be able to produce this part and also multiple segments because it's so accurate. But anyways, getting back to Chatterbooks editions, Saving What Remains. My first edition is by the poet Natasha Trethewey. It's T-R-E-T-H-E-W-E-Y apostrophe S. It's her memoir called Memorial Drive. She basically recounts or revisits her Mississippi childhood, where her mother, a black woman, was married to her white father, and then her subsequent death in Terminus, the former name of Atlanta, when she fell victim to domestic violence and her mother died at her second husband's hand. This book, all 224 pages of it, which is in prose because she's a well-known poet laureate, but she also, it just brings up the finality of the violence inflicted on women and the lack of survivors and just the turmoil that produced this great writer. The entire full-length version of the review that is featured today in the book section of the Times Free Press, you can actually read it. It's in its entirety. Chapter16.org is an online publication of the Humanities Tennessee. I'm going to have to check that out because I see hope there may be other writing opportunities for me with that. What I also have noticed that my previous editions to Chatterbooks, in particular the book by The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, is now still number seven on the New York Times bestsellers book list under fiction. Mariah Carey, her book, The Meaning of Mariah Carey, is number one on the nonfiction. Cass, which I'm going to be doing a whole blog section on probably later on this week. Is number three. How to Be an Anti-Racist is number eight. I think that's actually an amazing story. And I actually added that last week. And it looks like it's still climbing the charts. There are several books that I will never add to my bookstore because if you knew the foolishness and the sociopathy of this fool that's in charge of the United States government at this time, and y'all didn't do anything until your books drop, y'all need to go sit down somewhere. So you won't see anything by Bob Woodard, this fool Michael Cohen, or definitely not that foolish child Candace Owens on any. I'm not going to be able to support any of their books, and definitely not Bill O'Reilly. I hate hate mongers. I hate people that sow division, and I hate people that wouldn't stand up to that fool and get him out when they knew of his pathology. So there you go. Now on to the book review. I hope to add, Why Didn't We Riot? A Black Man in Trump Land by Isaac Bailey. It's a powerful lesson in history and truth. Another memoir and sociocultural analysis. There's also Eli's Promise by Ronald H. Balson. This is on Audible. It's the historical novel that traces a young Polish Jewish family from their displacement to their new life in America. Also, Slaves in the Family. I'm going to be adding this author's, both of his books. It's Edward Ball. His family actually goes back to the 1600s in South Carolina. They had a massive rice farm, enslaved thousands. They were responsible for the enslavement of thousands of my ancestors, or just Black ancestors. I say that collectively. But he also writes a newer book, The Life of a Klansman, the history of his family's racism. I'm interested in possibly reading both of those. I'm fascinated by how white people perceive and reconcile their family's racist and slaveholding past and how they move forward. I think there's a lesson to be learned in those pages. I also have added, or will be adding, Punching the Air. This is by E.B. Zoboi, I-B-I-Z-O-B-O-I, with Yusef Salam. This novelist first met Salam, one of the five Black teenagers wrongly convicted of assaulting a white jogger in the Central Park in 1989 at Hunter College after he had served nearly 7 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. When they would reconnect years later after his 2002 exoneration, it took them another almost 20 years to get them Du Bois their money. They decided to collaborate on a work of fiction about a character named Ahmad Shaheed, a Black Muslim poet also facing wrongful incarceration. The result, Punching the Air, is a wrenching novel whose story told in verse is both urgent and heartbreakingly familiar. I think that's going to be an amazing read that all of us should consider picking up. And then there is My Time to Speak, Reclaiming Ancestry and Confronting Race by Ilia Calderon. She begins with an interview with the Ku Klux Klan leader who threatened her life. This Univision anchor turns the camera on herself. Race is a central theme in her inspiring memoir of breaking barriers and refusing to be silenced. I think that's pretty amazing. And the only addition that I thought appropriate for kids this week, as we talk about race, is The Talk. Conversation about Race, Love, and Truth, edited by Wade Hudson and Cheryl Willis Hudson. It's a Crown book. It's $16.99. All of these editions have significant meaning, and it looks like I'm going to be able to add several more books to an ever-growing list of bestsellers and just suggestions from the New York Times and also from Tennessee Humanities. I'm looking forward to you guys reviewing and those books, and I'm hopeful that you will suggest other additions to my bookstore. If you don't, when you navigate to Chatterbooks, if you don't see something there that you would like to order, I would just send it to me. Send a suggestion to tenfrowitzreading@gmail.com. And if it's not by those authors that I completely ban from carrying at my bookstore, and it's not something just completely offensive, I'll make sure that I list it, and then I'll let you know when you can actually order it. And thank you for listening to this part. This is probably one of the most enjoyable sections that I actually do weekly, and just let me know how I can improve. This recording device on my iPhone is a bit nifty. It makes producing a podcast on the fly, actually it decreases a lot of the noise in the background, but it also allows me to basically script out, you know, longhand what I would like to talk about, but it allows me the flexibility to use my hands, to look up things, to research things in a little bit more cohesive and fluid fashion. So it made creating this episode a little bit easier. Now all I have to do is basically send all of these actual recordings to myself, edit them, and publish. And I'm hoping to do all of this probably by close of business tomorrow. Then I'll be able to. And I think the Star Trek Discovery actually publishes on CBS All Access on Mondays, but I have to double check that. But I'm excited about this next phase in the development of my publication. I'm hopeful that this little device will make me more efficient. I'm hopeful that someone would pay attention and become a sponsor for the show, that I will be able to upgrade the show, be able to hire someone else to do the production and the editing portion of this, and be able to take the time and research those things that are very interesting, not only to me, but to the listening audience. If you have comments and you want to share non-trolly messages, as well as what I should be adding or talking about in the show, as well as books I should be adding to Chatterbooks, as well as wine I need to taste, as well as how to combine them with certain dishes, send those non-trolly messages to tenfroisreading@gmail.com. Again, if your suggestion is not trolly and is on target and is on subject, I'll actually read it on air and I'll find a way to compensate you accordingly. And I hope you will join me in the next episode that I hope to publish in the next couple of days. And thank you, as always, for listening. Have a great evening. Bye.